The following is a community affairs presentation from the Ulster County Health Department. This is the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a weekly presentation exploring community health and sustainability with guests representing a broad spectrum of community partners working to make Ulster County the healthiest in New York State. This program is sponsored by the Health Alliance of the Hudson Valley in Kingston, a member of the WMC Health Network.
Good morning. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. I am your host, Dr. Carol Smith, Commissioner of Health and Mental Health for Ulster County. With me this morning is my co-host, Vin Martello, our Director of Community Health Relations. Good morning, Vin.
Good morning, Dr. Smith. How are you?
Fine, thanks.
Dr. Smith, today's topic is one that we've covered before, but perhaps can't be covered enough, and that is public health preparedness. And we have with us today one of our esteemed staff members, Diane Asno, who is Preparedness Education Coordinator, and she's going to tell us all about public health preparedness and about an interesting event that's coming up. Welcome, Diane.
Thanks.
Welcome.
Diane, tell us, our listeners, a little bit about what public health preparedness is all about and why it's important.
Vin, it's such an important topic because in the times that we're living these days, we're just hearing more and more about attacks on our lives, our government, our country, our state, and public health preparedness just kind of encompasses all that. And the whole idea that we have to be in a constant state of readiness, meaning that we have to safeguard and prepare ourselves and our families, our loved ones, our community, people that we work with, just to make safety plans and procedures that make everything much safer for us in the local communities.
Well, you're absolutely right, Diane. All of this really had its, more or less had its origins after 9/11, when after that tragedy, we realized as a country that we were not prepared, that services were not integrated in a way that they needed to be to respond to a mass casualty or mass disaster, such as what happened with the World Trade Center. So preparedness really has its foundation in that, and we prepare regularly for events that may tax us, whether it's a biological attack, whether it's a physical assault with bombing as such, or some other tragedy where we have a mass casualty.
And Diane, with respect to public health, is preparedness primarily focused on medical-related emergencies, or does it cover a much broader spectrum than that?
Of course, we're always quite concerned with the nature of our work with public health on emergencies that can transpire from a medical perspective. But it also encompasses other topics such as weather-related. And again, I can't stress enough that constant state of readiness, being at the ready for whatever might happen in our environment, our county, and medically and weather-related would be two that I would mention.
In terms of an individual or a family living in Ulster County, in general terms, what kinds of steps can people take to be more prepared for the types of emergencies that could be likely to occur here in Ulster County? And then maybe you can progress to some of the more unusual ones that are out there.
Sure. One of the questions that we should always ask ourselves is, would we be prepared in an emergency? It sounds pretty basic and straightforward, but, you know, with groups that we do work with when doing community presentations, sometimes we discover that's not always the case. So we would always want to remind people that it's important to have an emergency plan. If something does arise, What will we do as a family to make sure that our children, our elderly, parents, grandparents, the vulnerable populations, including small children, what would we do? What would be the plan to get ourselves moving to where it's safe for us? And it's always, always so important in a home to assemble an emergency supply kit. And when I say that, it's being ready to have supplies at your home and stockpiled a bit, so that you're not running out, such as was the situation with many people during Hurricane Irene when they were going to buy supplies and things were really getting depleted in our local stores. So it's having things assembled, your kit, and also I always encourage people to have a go bag, something ready that they can grab, such as a backpack, so that they can get out quickly if they have to, because evacuations do happen, as we did see in Hurricane Irene. And having that kit, having your emergency plan, what are we going to do should this happen? Is there a meeting place we need to go to? Do we need to let out-of-town relatives know about what's going on so they can check in on us? And always staying informed through listening to your local radio stations, you know, if power is available, certainly going on to the county website, and just safeguarding those types of things.
Mm-hmm. And what is reasonable for a family to have stockpiled? What are some examples of the types of things they might have at home?
Sure. For stockpiling, they would want to be sure to have enough supply of water. Mm-hmm. And there's just quite a laundry list of things for their basic emergency supply kit. When I say water, we're really talking about 1 gallon of water per person per day for at least 3 days for their drinking and their sanitation. Uh-huh. And food, of course, at least a 3-day supply of non-perishable food. I would also just want to interject in there while I'm thinking of it, how important it is to have some supplies in your car if you're traveling long distances. Sometimes situations, accidents can happen on the thruway. They've happened to me when I've been heading way up north. And right. Just having those supplies that you can have some non-perishable things to eat and your water in there too. I would also add how important it is to have a battery-powered or hand crank radio, and the NOAA weather radio with the alerts, and also extra batteries for those. NOAA radio, meaning it's a weather channel, you can hear what's coming up, and that battery-powered, so important. And as I always say to friends of mine, when the power goes out, the power is out. It's no fun, no matter what, when that happens. So whatever we can do to protect our family and those provisions are really good. We would also want to mention that we'd want to have our flashlight with extra batteries. Of course, as we mentioned before, the first aid kit, a whistle to signal for help. Sometimes that sounds a little bit offbeat, but I've heard situations where that's really helped people when they were in a flooding situation and were stranded on a roof or something
almost
like that.
Almost like in earthquakes, right? Those types of situations.
Right, those situations. And can openers for food if your kit contains that kind of thing. So that's just some of the basics, that food and that water supply being really important.
And provisions for pets, I'd imagine, as well, right?
Yes, definitely pets. And through Ulster County, there's an animal response team now, which makes it a little easier for folks who were hesitant before possibly to go to shelters because they couldn't take their animals to shelters, and some folks who volunteer to help with the pet situation called UCART.
Mm-hmm. So what types of community partners do you work with through the health department in terms of preparedness planning? Can you maybe give us a few examples, and do you have some kind of formal mechanism for meeting with them or coordinating efforts?
Sure, we do. The Preparedness Task Force has been in existence probably since 9/11, and that really is a coalition of wide range of community members that come to meet quarterly, and just a really wonderful group to work with. I actually chair that coalition, just do a tremendous amount of email messaging on my distribution list to get information out to those folks, and they really get that information out to others. And included in Preparedness Task Force, we would have our very key players, our hospitals, our nursing homes, our adult care facilities, schools, the faith-based communities, and and
EMS, police,
all of the providers such as that, Office for Aging, community agencies, and folks that I meet in presentations who just want to be added on to lists so that they can get regular updates from me. And when I say regular updates, as everyone out there remembers, we had about 3 or 4 nor'easters basically over a 2-week period or so.
Yeah,
and
a rough winter.
Was a lot of weather-related things going out to those folks, and they were passing it along to others. So our community members preparedness task force probably has about 100 people on a listserv, and we have about 25 to 30 that attend the meetings, and we always bring in guest speakers on preparedness that really help them to kind of expand their horizons about how big this topic has become because of the times we live in now. And that would be Preparedness Task Force, a great outreach group.
Mm-hmm. And how does your group relate to say regional entities or state entities or federal entities? How do you interact, and what do those relationships look like?
Well, preparedness units are part of all public health departments in the state as a mandated state regulation. So we are always working really closely with New York State Department of Health through the grant process for preparedness. And we're tasked with a set of fairly comprehensive deliverables that we have to meet. Deliverables meaning tasks that we have to do with certain projects for preparedness. And those come up each quarter. We have a schedule of what we need to do to fulfill those. And we just proceed with that. So meetings, correspondences, communications with New York State DOH, certainly.
And with CDC and Homeland Security that are tied into that?
They are so tied into that. And much of what we distribute and information through FEMA, Federal Emergency Management Agency, that really assists the public at large with information and materials that we can really help educate people. And that's always a focus of mine.
And we know that you have a very interesting preparedness exercise, community exercise coming up soon. But first, we're going to take a short break. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. Our guest is Diane Asno, who's a public health coordinator for the preparedness program at Ulster County Department of Health.
The heart is a complex organ, but finding specialized cardiovascular care in Poughkeepsie and Kingston is so easy. Mid-Hudson Regional Hospital and Health Alliance Hospital are now home to WMC Health's Heart and Vascular Institute, the Hudson Valley's largest multi-specialty cardiovascular practice. They have state-of-the-art diagnostics and innovative imaging and testing technologies. You'll receive comprehensive cardiac and vascular care from some of the world's top cardiologists and vascular surgeons. You'll also have a seamless connection to advanced care at WMC Health's flagship hospital, Westchester Medical Center. The best cardiovascular care comes from the best people, and now the very best are right in your backyard. Visit wmchealth.org/heart to discover more about WMC Health's Heart and Vascular Institute at Mid-Hudson Regional Hospital and Health Alliance Hospital. Members of the Westchester Medical Center Health Network, WMC Health, advancing care here.
Welcome back. You are listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. Our special guest today is Diane Asno, the Preparedness Coordinator at the Ulster County Department of Health. Diane, before the break, we began talking about an interesting event that we have coming up that we do periodically with our colleagues in the county. We call it the POD for short, or the Point of Dispensing. Could you tell us a little bit more about what this POD is all about, this exercise?
Sure, I'd be glad to. We're really excited and working very hard about the Point of Dispensing exercise. And basically, it's something that we are tasked to do, as I mentioned before, through New York State Department of Health. And it's really a great exercise to test our capabilities in the event of a real emergency. And this event is going to be happening on Tuesday, May 1st. And a point of dispensing exercise is something in this particular case, it's an infectious disease scenario. And we want to really stress that this is not a real life event. This is a mock exercise. This is to give us practice so that we can really mobilize and move quickly through public health when something like this arises. And of course, it has arisen in the past where it's been a real event. So this event is on Tuesday, May 1st. The location is the Kingston Center of SUNY Ulster. That's at 94 Mary's Avenue in Kingston. And the point of dispensing exercise runs that day on May 1st from 10 a.m. until 12 noon. And basically, I have kind of a laundry list to go through of some of the things about the pod of that are some requirements. First and foremost, we're really looking for volunteers. And we don't want to stress anybody out when they're thinking about being a volunteer for this, because basically we'll have stations set up where we will be doing a mock situation where there will be no real medications to take care of this infectious disease scenario that's coming up for this. So we basically need people to walk through as volunteers to the various stations as that is set up, and no medications really are given. And volunteers certainly are encouraged to be part of this. We'll talk a little bit more as I get into this more about how somebody can sign up to do this. But just to give you folks background on it, when we ask for volunteers for that day, we would ask that they would come in a half an hour early before the actual pod starts. So we're asking them to come in at 9:30 a.m. on May 1st. And volunteers, when they walk through the pod, don't have to stay the entire time. And they would be going through a registration and dispensing and going through observation stations throughout. We ask that volunteers, they actually have to be 18 years or older, unless they're accompanied by their parent or guardian. And just, you know, there is a need for the volunteers, as I said. And just to be clear about this, one of our objectives for the drill is to demonstrate our capacity to serve an individual coming through with also with access or functional needs without moving through to a special area of the pod. And when we say special needs population, certainly we're welcoming everyone to volunteer. And the special needs population, for example, that would be individuals who use a mobility assistive device or have a service animal. It could also mean an individual with hearing difficulties or visual impairment. Certainly the elderly, children, and pregnant women, just to name a few of those populations. So they're certainly welcome to participate. And the facility at the Kingston campus of SUNY Ulster on Mary's Ave is accessible for folks to participate. Another objective in the world of public health preparedness is that we need to demonstrate the ability to use language support services and communication. We can't say enough about how important that is with services to an individual who speaks a language other than English. For instance, there is a language line that can be used for assistance that we'll have set up, and someone who can speak Spanish. And we certainly encourage Spanish-speaking populations to be part of this. So that is a lot of information about the pod. I would want to make sure that people understand when I say the Kingston Center of SUNY Ulster on Mary's Avenue, that's the satellite site that's behind the high school, Kingston High School, just so folks know that
Mary's Avenue.
Right. Mm-hmm. And there is ample parking there. And again, the walkthrough would be through the various stations of the pod. It will be a simulation of giving medication, but certainly this is practice for us again, and you'll not be receiving real medication. If it were a real event situation, absolutely, and this would be a way that we could test our capabilities so that we know each time that we do these what is working really well and where we may need to make a few improvements on things.
Yes, that's exactly right. And there have been a number of instances, really, within the recent past, where the state health department and the county have had to respond, not in our county particularly, but there were hepatitis A exposures in some counties where multiple individuals were exposed to hepatitis A, and a pod was established to help the local health department and the state dispense the hepatitis A vaccine as well as an immune globulin to help people prevent the onset of hepatitis infection in their bodies. So this is the point of it, is to intervene so as to disrupt the communication of a disease such as a virus like hepatitis A or mumps if folks have not been vaccinated or may need a third vaccine, and that was an instance we did have in our county. So we're constantly on the outlook so that we can disrupt the transmission of these diseases at a time when it is most advantageous to the population that's been exposed. And we do that by means of these pods that are set up in various places to respond to the event.
And occasionally the real thing happens, right?
That's what I'm saying. The hepatitis A outbreak in some counties, the mumps outbreaks.
Right, where we had a measles outbreak, where we had two
vaccinated. Mumps outbreak, mumps. And then in some places there have been, yes, measles outbreaks. And, so it's very important to be able to intervene in a very efficient manner, very quickly, and dispense medication to the greatest number of exposed individuals.
Mm-hmm. And Diane, so if folks want to volunteer in this point of dispensing exercise or want more information about it, where do they go?
Okay, so again, the point of dispensing exercise we've been discussing, which is a simulation practice for us doing what we call a pod, will be Tuesday, May 1st. For volunteers, we're asking them to come in at 9:30 to sign in at the Kingston campus of SUNY Ulster. Again, that's at 94 Mary's Avenue right here in Kingston. And the actual point of dispensing exercise goes from 10 a.m. until 12 noon. One caveat to this whole thing is that we really love it if people will pre-register for this. And this is the part that, certainly I'll give out our phone numbers. You might need to call to get more clarification on this afterwards. We enjoy speaking with you. But through the state, there is a computerized registration that's very, very easy to go on to. We will have a link that's available for people to go on who are computer savvy. And that way, for the groups of volunteers I've talked to so far, to be at the ready if that works for you, to go onto your computer and pre-register. That just is so very helpful when it comes to long lines and waiting.
And that link is
folks beforehand.
Where's that link, or where do they go?
It will be announced.
Oh,
it hasn't really been freed up or released by the state.
Okay, well, we can certainly look on our health department website. We'll probably
we'll have more information about it on our website, and we'll have any updates that the community may look to receive on our website as well.
That's ulstercountyny.gov/health, and it'll be there. You can look under news and current issues, and you'll find it there.
And we would also point out that anybody walking in certainly can be part of our pod if they don't pre-register, mm-hmm. that we can also take care of it right that day on May 1st.
Mm-hmm. And I know there are also the natural emergency types of activities and drills that we participate in. I remember during Irene and Sandy and Irene, or for the two major hurricanes that happened, the public health department did get involved in emergency shelter work with folks, mental health crisis counseling, those types of things, because when disasters happen, services break down, and we might think, well, why do we need that? But you know, if your supermarket is closed for a week because it can't get deliveries, or folks can't get in to run the places, or power is out, will need some help. So all great, great information. And we'd love it if you'd come and volunteer and contact us for more information. Diane, thank you for all that you and all of your colleagues do.
Thank you. And I would just point out that if people need to get in touch with me beforehand, it's 845-334-5538. And my colleague Ann Smoller is 845-334-5540 if you have any concerns before that pre-reg becomes available on the site that we'll send out.
Terrific. That's all the time we have for today. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. Tune in next week for more great information that you can use to keep yourself, your family, and your community healthy and strong.
You've been listening to the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a community affairs presentation from the Ulster County Health Department, sponsored by Health Alliance of the Hudson Valley in Kingston, a member of the WMC Health Network. Thanks for listening, and be sure to join us for another edition of the Healthy Ulster Radio Show next week.